Today's shiur is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin in Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, on top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Unklus bar Klumnis Igayir. Unklus, who was actually the nephew of the Roman Caesar, became a ger. Shad Kaiser Gundad Ramoya Basrei. The Kaiser sent a troop, Roman troops, to bring him back. Meshchina Bikroi. Unklus began to tell them different psukim from our Tanakh, Igayir, and they became Gerim. And the Yaakov asked the obvious question. We know that part of our religion is that we don't look for converts. So why was Unklus being Megayir them? So he says two terutzim. One terutz he says is that here was a situation of Sakonis Nefashis, and that's why Unklus was doing it. Another teretz that he gives is that the halacha that we're not allowed to seek out geirim, interesting teretz he suggests, is that part of our religion is that Jews are not supposed to look for geirim. But geirim may look for other geirim. And given as we just learned that Unklus is a geir, Unklus did have a right to try to convert other people. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein based on this Gemara. Because he says, besides for the issue which we just discussed, that we're not allowed to look for Gerim, it's more than that, that when there is a Ger come to us, we're supposed to try to convince him not to become a Ger. And we don't find anywhere in our Gemara, he asks, that Unkelus or anyone try to dissuade them from becoming Gerim. So he says a very bechidish, and he actually quotes a psak from his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev, related to this, that if somebody comes to become a ger, and it's obvious that he's completely sincere about becoming a ger, and he's not going to listen to any persuasion that he should not be a ger, there's no need to go through that process. And we don't have to try to dissuade him from being a ger. He says, in the name of his father, Rabbi Yoshev, we know the Gemara Masechta Ksubis discusses it, this question comes up fairly often enough, if people adopt children, and the children that they adopt are not Jewish by birth, and they're Megayir. And then when they become adults, they're supposed to confirm their Geiris. He says there too, Rabbi Yoshev says that even though normally we're supposed to try to say maybe you don't want to be Jewish, here where it's a whole different situation, that should not be done. If they say that they want to accept, continue their Geiris, that's good enough. Hadashad Gagudna de Ramaya Chroina. He sends another, so the king sends another troop. Amlu le Temer le Vlamidi. He says, don't get into conversation with here. So as they're taking him to his uncle, the king, he says, I won't talk to you about religion. I won't talk to you about psukim. I just want to tell you a very interesting observation. He says, Nefura nokat nura. Kame papiria. He says that the smaller, the lower level, authority carries the candle for a higher level. Papuria carries the candle in front of the duchsa. The duchsa carries the candle in front of the agmoina. The agmoina carries the candle in front of the kuma, the king. Kuma, the king, he of minoket nori mekamenchi. The king doesn't carry a candle for anyone else. He doesn't serve anyone else. Amalei loy. So they said, of course not. Amru HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here we find that our God, Nokad Ner Kamed Yisrael, even though he's the God of the world, he carries a candle in front of Kal Yisrael. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Vashem Ha'ilich Lefneim Yoimim. When they heard this about Hashem, Igayir Kula, they all became Geirim. Hadashad Gund Achrine Basrei, so now the king sends another troop, and he says to them, don't get into any conversation with him. Because then as soon as you get into conversation with him, you will become Gerim. So as they're removing him from his home, Uncle saw a mezuzah on his doorway, and he put his hand on him, on the mezuzah. So they asked him, Mayhai, what is this thing that you're touching? Amr Luhu, he said to them, Mayhai, do you know what this is? Amr Lei, Amr Lonat, you tell us. So he responded, Menhaga shel oilam, normally melech bas v'dam yosh b'fnim, the king sits indoors, v'avdoi m'sham mayos b'chutz, and his servants guard him from outside wherever he's sitting. V'ilu, here by us, our relationship with Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our relationship with Hashem, avod b'mifnim, we who are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servants sit inside our homes, v'hu sharim b'chutz, and he watches us from outside. Shenemar, as the Pasuk indeed says, Hashem yishma tzeischu v'yacho mi'atav ed oilam. Again, when they heard this, igayir, they all became gerim, and the king saw that this isn't working, and su leishad basra, he didn't send anybody else after him. The Ramah, in Hilchas Mezuzah, quoting the Maril, says this is the basis for the minig, that when a person comes in or leaves a room, he should put his hand on the mezuzah. Why? Because as we see it, that's what Unkelus did as he was leaving their home. The only thing that the Pesukim discuss is that it's very important that the mezuzah be in a case, or at least that the mezuzah be covered. Because there's halacha, as we know, for example, with the Sefer Torah, that when one is not supposed to hold the parchment of the Sefer Torah with his bare hands. So that's one of the reasons that the mezuzah has to be in a case. In fact, this is the reason also why the halacha is by mezuzah, that let's say you have a doorway which is a little thicker, the mezuzah should be all the way towards the back, towards the end of the doorway, not in, more towards the inside. Because if our Gemara is teaching us that the mezuzahs watch us, they give us a shmirah, so every part of the home and the doorway needs the shmirah of the mezuzah. And therefore it's very important to put the mezuzah in the proper place. Furthermore, this is the source for the famous minig. The minig is that we write on the back of the mezuzah the Shem Hashem Shakai, Shun Dalad Yud. Why? Because the Shem Hashem Shakai stands for the word Shomer Dirois Yisrael, or Shomer Dalsus Yisrael. And as our Gemara is teaching us, the mezuzah brings us a shmirah. However, there's a very interesting machlokes rishonim. There are rishonim that indicate that there was a minig to write on the mezuzah, on the back of the mezuzah, between the lines of the mezuzah, different names of malachim. The reason being that those malachim are malachim of shmirah, that watch us, and the mezuzah here, as our Gemara taught us, is here to watch us also. However, the Rambam takes very strong issue, and he says, Chas v'shalom, one shouldn't do that. You only should write in the mezuzah what belongs in the mezuzah. As the Kesa Mishnah, he doesn't understand why the Rambam is so upset. Our Gemara clearly taught us that the mezuzah is here for a shmirah. And since the mezuzah is here for a shmirah, we should be able to do anything that brings more shmirah. So if writing those names of the malachim bring us a greater shmirah, it should certainly be mutter to write those names. So the Kesef Mishnah responds in defending the Rambam. He says, we aren't to understand a mezuzah, he says, as some sort of a document that this mezuzah has the power to watch us. That's not the way to understand a mezuzah, he says. The way to understand a mezuzah is that if somebody properly fulfills the mitzvah's mezuzah, then the mezuzah will bring him a shmirah. But not that the mezuzah has some sort of magical power that it brings shmirah. If you do the mitzvah, you'll have a shmirah. And actually, I saw the Shem Tzion Balocha uses this concept that the Rambam sets forth to answer a very fundamental question. If we learn Hilchas Mezuzah, we see that there are certain rooms that don't require mezuzah. The halacha is that if you rent a home in Chutz Laaretz, under many circumstances, you don't put up a mezuzah until 30 days. So he asks, if our Gemara is teaching us that the mezuzah has the power to bring a shmirah, so certainly we should put up the mezuzah even if we don't have to put up the mezuzah. Don't we all want a shmirah? But according to the Kesef Mishnah, it's very gishmat. The mezuzah is only of shmirah, the shmirah of the mezuzah is the mitzvah of the mezuzah. But if you're not being mekayim a mitzvah, there's no shmirah. And therefore, putting a mezuzah where you don't have to put on, or when you don't have to put on, won't bring you a shmirah anyway. In our previous Gemara, we spoke about Rebbe and Antoninus. So our Gemara goes back to it. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says that Hashem told Rivka, V'yamela Hashem shnei goyim bebitneich. Amar Yehuda Marav, atikri goyim, don't say it means goyim, el geyim. Two great individuals. Who are these great individuals? Zantoninus for Rebbe. There never was missing from their tables, like chazeres, chazeres is lettuce, for like kishes are cucumbers, for like tznoin, radishes. Not in the summer nor in the winter. Domamar, as we learned, tznoin, radishes are very good because the mechatech oichel, they chop up the food. Chazeres, mehapach machel, the chazeres causes the food to be digested. Kishes, marach mayayim, it expands the intestines and helps the digestive system. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that cucumbers are good? V'tana de Be'er B'Shmol, lama nikra shman k'shuim, why are they called cucumbers? Neisha kashan l'gufish l'adam, they're very difficult on the body. K'charovas like knives. Answer the Gemara, like kasha. Haba ravervi, haba zutri. Large cucumbers aren't good, small cucumbers are good. The cucumbers they had were the small cucumbers. There are many pshatim said in this Gemara. Let's dwell on them for a moment. One pshat that I saw is that the tznoim was actually eaten, the radish was actually eaten at the beginning of the meal because it helped somebody get appetite. The chasa was eaten, the chazeres was eaten at the end of the meal because it helped the digestion. So that's our Gemara teaching us. The Gemara is teaching us that they were both on the table. Very difficult. When the radishes are on the table, the lettuce isn't. This is the beginning of the meal. This is the end of the meal. How do we understand this? But the truth is, Tosfos asks, Akasha, that the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubos, that Rebbe said about himself as he was leaving the world, he picked up his hands and he said, Lo nanesi mi oilam hazaklum. I didn't have any hanor from this world. Here, our Gemara is teaching us that there was so much wealth in the home of Rebbe. He had these delicacies all of the time. And here he says, I have no hanor from the world. The answer is Rebbe Taka didn't have hanor from the world. But he had a lot of guests sitting at his table. And there were constantly people coming and going. So now it's very geschmack. That's why Rebbe Taka didn't eat these tznoin chazeres. His guest ate the tznoin chazeres. But his guest who ate the tznoin chazeres were coming and going. So you had to have, for this person who was the beginning of the meal, for this person who was the end of the meal. Another pshat, how we reconcile the Rebbe said, he picked up his hands. Mefarshim say it has nothing to do with what Rebbe ate. Rebbe ate. Pshat is that normally when somebody writes a sefer, he copyrights the sefer. Rebbe was the first author in Klal Yisrael. He wrote the Shisha Sidra Mishnah. But when he wrote the Shisha Sidra Mishnah with his hands, he says anybody could print it. He didn't copyright it for himself. He picked up his hands and said that what I wrote with my hands, I wrote the Mishnayos with my hands, I don't want it for myself. I give it to all of Klal Yisrael. Another pshat is that the Gemara we know, we remember the Gemara Masecht Megillah says that the Schai was Sonim Shal Yisrael Kliya. Why in the time of Achashverosh would Klal Yisrael had such a terrible decree? So the question is, why does it say nenu? It should say minisha ochlu, because they ate by Achashverosh's banquet. The answer is there was nothing wrong with eating at that banquet. It was 100% kosher. But they weren't supposed to have hanor. That's what Rebbe said. Rebbe didn't say he didn't eat. He said he didn't have hanor from this world. One more pshat in that Gemara is that typically people, particularly people who are wealthy, come to the thinking, the koichiv oitzim yodi osli sechayel zeh. Everything they have is because they earned it on their own. So that's why Rebbe said, afilo etz b'ketana, everything I have from Hashem. Nothing was achieved on my own. Back to our Gemara, the Gemara that says pshat regarding tznoin and chazeres. So I saw a very beautiful pshat from the Divrei Yisrael, the Magid Tzareba. The Magid Tzareba explains that when a person eats, he has to have, in order for his eating, which is one of the most physical acts, to become a mitzvah, he has to do two things. One thing is he's supposed to invite guests to his table. In fact, we know that the pasuk that we say a number of times every day, that represents the pasuk that we mispowel for panasa, is the pasuk that we say, Paseach HaSyodecha, Mazbiel L'chol Chai Ratzoyim. If we look at the last letters of the word Paseach HaSyodecha, they stand for chasoch. Chasoch means to cut. What does it mean to cut? What does cut have to do with panasa? It means that you're supposed to cut food for others. You're supposed to invite guests to your table and give them food. Chasoch. If you cut the food for them, That's why you'll have panasa. In fact, there's a minig by many people that for Rosh Hashanah, they buy a new knife because of chasach. That's one way that to have a school for panasa for the year. That's one way our eating becomes a mitzvah. Another way our eating becomes a mitzvah, another way of our eating becoming a mitzvah, is that we know there are four categories of creation in the world. There's doimim, the ground. There's tzomech, what grows from the ground. There's chai, there's animals. And there's medaber, people. What happens when somebody eats? He takes something which, the food, which started in the ground, grew, then eaten by the animals, and now you eat that food. You turn something from being a domeim to a tzomech, to a chai, to medaber. And we know when you do a mitzvah, the Mashal quoted it a number of times at the beginning of a mitzvah, you create malachim. That's the two things that happen when you eat. So he says that's what the Gemara is saying. Tznoim mechatech. When you sit by the table, you're supposed to be mechatech. You're supposed to cut food for others, and you're supposed to eat chazeres. Chazeres means you're supposed to take the food that starts with a doimim and turn it to chazeres, make it into a malach. Another interesting pshat, cute pshat that I saw, is that the Gemara teaches us manners. You know, sometimes people come to the house, come home, and they look what's doing in the pot, and they start eating, standing in the kitchen. So Gemara says, Lo pasku mi'al shulchanam. They always sat by the table when they ate. That's how you're supposed to eat, like a mensch. One final pshat that I saw the Mefarshim suggest, that here the Gemara is not only speaking about physical eating of food, but the Gemara also speaking how one is supposed to approach his learning. If one wants to be successful in his learning, he has to do two things. He has to have two characteristics. One is he's supposed to understand what he learns. The second thing he's supposed to do is constantly review what he learns. Like Pasku Me'al Shulchanan, they never took off their table. What table? The table where they sat and learned. Loi Tznoim, not radishes, Shemachatech. They cut the Gemara that they learned. They made sure that they really understood what the Gemara says. And Chazeres, they were Chazer. They reviewed everything they learned. If you are on your table where you learn the Torah, you make sure to understand what you learn, and you make sure to review what you learn, you will be successful in your learning. So we learned in the Mishnah that other holidays that the Mishnah mentioned were Yom HaLeid of Yom HaMisa. Rameya said that those are considered holidays. Drabanan said no, it depends. If when the king died, they burned his personal effects with him, then it's a holiday. Otherwise not. Says the Gemara, and as the Ritva explains the Gemara, Mechlad Ramei Sava, Loishnam Isha Sheyesh Beisreifa, Loishnam Isha Shem Beisreifa. It's obviously, it's only the opinion of the Rabbanan who differentiate if there was a Sreifa. According to Ramei, under all circumstances, when the king dies, Palchiba Lavod Kachavim. They worship their Avodah Zarah, and that's why it's considered a holiday for Avodah Zarah. Alma, obviously, according to Rameya, his opinion is Sreifa Lav Chukihi, that Sreifa is not considered part of worshipping the Avodah Zarah. Michlal, and the Rabbanan who disagree with Rameya are of the opinion, Savri Schukihi, that it is considered part of worshipping the Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, the Brisa says, Sarfana Malochim, that when a Jewish king passes away, they burn all of his personal items. And it's not considered as if they're doing Darkei Hamayri, where the Pasuk says, v'chukasem lo yisaleichu. V'chukahi, if it's considered a chayik, anan hechi sarfinan, how can we actually do this? V'chukasev, v'chukasem lo yisaleichu. So if according to Rabbanu, we're explaining that burning the personal articles of the king is considered part of Avodah Zarah, how are we allowed to do so when a Jewish king dies? And there's a very important Taisus here. Taisus discusses the issue, the din of Bechukesem Leiselechu. Because Taisus is bothered with a very obvious question. If we have a minig, we have a custom that we do something, and then the Akum adapt that minig, so how does it become Bechukesem Leiselechu? We were doing it before they adapted the minig. So why would it be Asur? Even if we're going to say, as the Rabbanan say, that it's part of their worshipping the Avodah Zarah. So Taisus has a very interesting teretz. This is the way to understand Taisus' teretz. If the Goyim do something, if the Goyim have a custom, even if it has no religious bearing, but it's their custom, and it wasn't ever our custom, it may be Asur. If, on the other hand, there was a custom, which was our custom, and now the goyim adopted that custom, we have to analyze. If they adopt the custom, because they're just following the custom with no specific religious reason, then we could continue doing our minig. But if they adopt that custom and make it part of their religious observance, even though we previously already had this minig, we have to stop. And therefore the Gemara's kasha is very gishmak. Yes, we might have had the custom first, but now that the Gemara is teaching us that the Rabbanan hold that the Goyim accepted this custom as part of their religious observance, how can we stop? How can we continue? Everybody has to agree that Sreif is not considered part of their religious observance. It just shows, if they burnt the king's personal effects, it shows that that king was important. And what is the machlokes of Rameh Rabbanim? It makes no difference if they do or don't burn the king's personal articles. Whenever the king dies, they worship Avodah Zarah. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan, however, of the opinion, if the king's death was accompanied by burning his personal articles, it's obvious that this was considered a special king to them, or palchaba, and they worship Avodah Zarah. However, when there is no Sreifa, they don't worship their Avodah Zarah, and it's not considered a holiday of the Akum. Gufa, so Gemara, in fact, goes back to the stint that we just spoke about. Sofan HaMelochim, when the kings passed away, they used to burn their personal articles. Veimim Shemdarke Amayri, and it's not considered Ubechukasem Loisaleichem. Shenemer, as we find Yirmiyo saying to Tzidkiyo, Tzidkiyo was the last king in Yerushalayim before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Yirmiyo assures Tzidkiyo, B'shalom Thomas, you'll die in peace, you'll die in your bed, of misrefice of a secha hamalochim. Just like your forefathers, when they passed away, their personal articles were burnt, so too will be done for you. Continues the Braisa, K'shem Shesofren hamalochim, the same way they do this when a king dies, kach sofren alasim, so too they do when great ministers pass away. Omar and sofren amalochim, what did they burn? Mitosimikli, tashmishon, their beds and all their personal effects. Says the Gemara, Omaisa shemesu gemli alzokin, Rabbi Gemli alzokin passed away, v'sof olav unkelos ager, unkelos ager burned, shivim monam tsuri, 70 mana of silver coins. Ask the Gemara, V'amrit hamu just said, Main sarfen aleim, what is burnt? Mitosun the klitish mission. They only burn things that the king actually used, like his bed or his personal articles, but not money. So how did Unkelus burn this money when Rabbi Gamliel Azokin passed away? Answers the Gemara, it wasn't that he burnt the money. Ema b'shun b'shivim manim tsuri. The personal articles of Rabbi Gamliel Azokin that Unkelus burnt were worth 7 monim, but not that he burnt money. Ask the Gemara, Omid achrin eloi, is nothing else burnt when the king passes away? V'tanya oikrin ala malochim. When the king dies, they tear out, we'll see, the bottom part of the foot of the animal that he rode on. V'im v'shim v'darkei mairi, and it's not considered darkei mairi. And as Tosfos points out, there is no issue about tashchis, nor is there an issue of tzar bal chayim, because since it's done for the covet of the melech, anything that's done for the covet of the melech, there's no problem about tashchis, no issue of tzar bal chayim. So here we're saying that we only burn the king's personal articles, and here we're saying that we tear the hoof, the bottom part of the animal. Amar Papa Sushirach of Alof, it's talking only the animal that he rode on. Ask the Gemara, or behemoth tahir aloi, does it mean that the kosher animals were never burnt? V'tanya, ikur sheish by treifa, when you did ikur, that causes the animal to become a treifa, usur. And Rashi says that the reason is, you're never allowed to deliberately make an animal into a treifa. So even if you have a right wound the animal, you have no right to deliberately make it into a treifa. Tosfos doesn't agree with that pshat. V'she'en b'treifa mutter. V'eze ikur she'en b'treifa. What is the difference when you turn into a treifa or not? Hamnasha presasem in akuva lamata. We'll learn mitzashem sech techulin And we'll learn that the animal's foot has three parts to it. The lower part, if you tear, it's not a trefa. The higher part, it is a trefa. But again, why would you have a right to wound the animal of the king if we're only allowed to wound the horse that he's riding on? Answers the Gemara, Tergmara, Papa, it's referring to Agola Meshech Bekroin. The king would have a calf pulling his wagon. A calf is a kosher animal, and that's where it was being used personally by the king. That's where we could have a circumstance that one is destroying, when the king dies, a kosher animal. We learned in the Mishnah, Yoyim Taglach HaZiknoi, the day that the king cuts his beard, the Yoyim HaNachos Belurosoi. We learned in the Mishnah that they used to leave, like a ponytail, some hair, a lock of hair in the back of the hair. Those are considered holidays. Ask the Gemari, Boilu, Hechitani, how are we to learn the Mishnah? Yoyim Taglach HaZiknoi VaNachos Belurosoi. The first way of understanding is that two things happen on the same day. The king would cut his beard, and on the day he would cut his beard, that was the day he started letting his ponytail grow. So it's all one day of a holiday. He cut his beard and let the hair grow. A dilma, or maybe the Mishnah means, two separate holidays. One is Yom Taglach HaZiknoi V'Avaris B'Lurasoi. One is the day that he takes a haircut cutting his beard. That's one holiday. And another holiday is Havaris B'Lurasoi, the day he leaves that hair grow. Toshma, the Tanya Tavayu. We learned both. Yom Taglach HaZiknoi V'Lachas B'Lurasoi. Yom Taglach HaZiknoi V'Avaris B'Lurasoi. And as Tosfos points out, actually the Gemara is mentioning two different brises. And the two brises are following different opinions. One is Yom Taglach HaZiknoi V'Lurasoi, which seems it's all one holiday. And the other part of the brisa says Yom Taglach HaZiknoi, the day he cuts his beard is one holiday. V'Avaris B'Lurasoi, and cutting his pony is another holiday. So we don't really have a clarkite, we don't have a clarity, what is the halacha. Amar Yudah Meshmul, Oyra Cheres Yeshlam Beroimi. There was another holiday that they celebrated in Rome. Ach L'Shim Shana, every 70 years, Mevim Odom Shalom, they bring a healthy individual, Umevim Oysoyal Odom Chigur, and they put him on top of a person who limps, Umabishay Oysoy Big Day Odom Arishin, and they put on the clothing that Esav, who was the forefather of Rome, who got it from Nimrod, who got them from Adam HaRishon, and they put on the head of the person on tap, Karkafiloi Shel Rabbi Shmuel. We all remember the story of the Asara Haruge Malchus. And one of the Asara Haruge Malchus was Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who was a very beautiful individual. And when the daughter of the Caesar saw as he was being killed, she said, I want to preserve his skin. And they took off all of his skin, and they preserved it. And they used to take from the skin that was on the head of Rabbi Shmuel, on the scalp of Rabbi Shmuel, and put it on top of this person, v'tolei b'tzavorei, and then they hang around his neck, miskel reish zun the pisa, a weight of 200 zuz of pisa gold, umechakim as a shvokim beinach, and they fill the streets with jewels, umechrizin lefonov, and they announced in front of this person, soch kiri plaster. They said, the person, soch, who said kiri, Yaakov Avinu, who's represented by the person who limps, because we know v'hutzolei al yirechoi, Yaakov was limping. Yaakov Avinu, as we call the Torah says, called together his children before he passed away. Higida v'gidu lechem, I'm tell you what's going to be be'achras hayomim. And here he said what he said was plaster. It's completely false. Because Yaakov Avinu said that our future will be positive. And here we see that we're under the domination of the Romans. Achva, the Meroni Zaifa. You are the brother of somebody who's a liar. Actually, what they meant was that Esav was the, and the Gemara will point this out in a moment, Esav was the brother of someone who's a liar. They're calling Yaakov Avinu a liar. And they would announce, the Chami Chami, whoever sees this holiday will see it, or the loichami, loichami. Whoever doesn't see it will never see it. Why? Because as the Gemara just said at the beginning, this holiday was celebrated once every 70 years, so the likelihood of somebody seeing it twice in his life is very remote. So they said, if you saw it now, you're unlikely ever to see it again. And they would say, "My Hanil Ramah B'Ramosei, what have you accomplished?" They were saying about Yaakov Avinu, were you trying to deceive your brother Esav when you took the Bechaira? Haven't accomplished anything. Ula Zayfa B'Zayfnusei, and you haven't accomplished anything with your words. And they would end this way, Vay L'Dein Kadyokim Dein. But they did admit at the end, right now we the Romans, the descendants of Esav, may be prevailing. But when Yaakov and his children in Mitzvah Shem B'Kariv will ultimately prevail, we will be in big trouble. Amar of Ashi, Hechshim Perim L'Rishoyim. If you analyze exactly what the Romans say, we will discover that their mouths themselves say, I Amri, Zayfen Achn Mirani, if they would say that the brother of our forefather, Esav, is a liar, Kedekamri. Hashdam de Mirani Zafni, what they're saying is that our forefather, Esav, Zayfana, was a liar. Mirani Gufa Zayfana Hava. He himself was a liar. But they had this holiday. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained why was this holiday celebrated every 70 years specifically. The Mefarshim explained, as we just mentioned in the previous Shurim, we know that the amount of time between the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni was 70 years. So the Goyim, after every 70 years that would pass and see that Klal Yisrael wasn't yet redeemed, would say, you were redeemed once, but you will not be redeemed again. Proof being that 70 years have passed and you haven't been redeemed. And that's why they would make this holiday every 70 years. So now our Gemara asks, why when the Mishnah mentions all of the holidays of the Romans, is this holiday not mentioned? My Tamalik Achashulei Lahai, why is this holiday not mentioned amongst the other holidays in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, the Easter called Shatavachashatukachashiv, a holiday that takes place every year is mentioned. The Leisa called Shatavachashatuk, but the holidays that don't take place every year, like we just said, it only takes place once every 70 years, Loikachashiv is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Hani Dramoi, our Mishnah and our Gemara have mentioned the holidays of the Romans. Ask the Gemara, the Persoi Mai, what are the holidays of the Persians? Says the Gemara, Mutradi Viturski, Munki Umorin. Ask the Gemara, so now Hani the Persoi Dramoi. We've listed all of the holidays of the Persians and the Romans. The Bavloi Mai, what are the holidays of the Bavloim? Says the Gemara, Munki Vaknesa, B'chanuni v'esa ba'odam. Omer avchanan b'rav chizda omer rav. V'amalei omer avchanan b'rav omer rav. Chamisha bati avodz k'chavim k'vum hein. There are five bati avodz k'chavim that are considered fully established. Tomorrow we'll explain in a moment why we need to know. Elohein, beis ba'al b'bovel, beis nevo b'kursi, terasi shebe'mafig, tzrifa shebe'ashkelon, nasha shebe'arvia. These are considered the five fully established Bati Avodah Zarah. Kios Rav Dimi, Hasifan Lan Yorid Shebe'ein Bechi, the Avodah Zarah of Yorid named Bechi, and Atbeka, Nadbeka, which is in Akoi. Ikadamri, another version, it was Nadbura, not Nadbeka, but rather Nadbeka Shebe'akoi. Rav Dimi Menadoi, however, he learns Masni Ipcha. Yorid in Akoi, and Adbeka Shebein Bechi are considered the established Bati Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, as we just said, Omle Rav Chanan Rav Chizda Rav Chizda, my Kavuin Hein. By saying that they're fully established, what are we trying to teach? Omle Hoch Amavu Demich, Kavuin Hein Le'olam, they're there forever, Tadira Kula Shati Palchala. Every day of the year they worship and have a religious holiday, and therefore one may never, as we're learning in our Masechta, do business with them. Amishmu, Begoyla and also El Yom Eden Bavad. We learned earlier in Daf Zayin that it is the opinion of Shmuel that in Chutz Loritz, even though we're learning that one can't do business with them before the holiday for 3 days, according to Bishmal, even after the holiday for 3 days, in Chutz Laretz, it's only the actual day of the holiday. Ask the Gemara, V'yom Edom Mi Oser, even on the day of the holiday, we not do business with them. Rabbi Yehuda Sharlei L'Rab Runa L'Zvuni Chavra, he allowed him to sell wine, Ulav Gidl L'Zvuni Chitim, to sell wheat, B'chaks D'Taya. So you see that even on the actual holiday, business may be conducted. Answers the Gemara, Shani, Chags D'Taya D'Lakviya. These aren't from holidays that are celebrated every year. And since they're not celebrated every year, therefore they're not considered holidays, that the din, that you know how to do business with them around the holidays, applies. Mefarshim, I think we've mentioned this previously, try to understand the opinion of Shmuel, why in Chutz Laretz we're more lenient, and it's only the day of the holiday, not the days before. Many reasons are given. One reason is because we live amongst them and we can't survive without doing business with them if we would have all these days that we can't do business with them. Another pshat, which we quoted, Mishum Eva, because we live in their countries, it could cause terrible repercussions if we avoid doing business with them. Another pshat that we've quoted is Avdei Avodah Zarah Shebegoila Einam Adukim, that those worship Avodah Zarah, even in Chutz Laretz, aren't that connected to the Avodah Zarah as those that worship that Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they did it out of religious conviction. In Chutz Laretz, they only did it because Minig Avasem V'Yadayim. It was the custom that this is a holiday, so why not have a holiday? Why not celebrate? And therefore, it doesn't have the same deep religious meaning, and therefore, it's mutter to do business. Thank you.